For the next few Sundays, we're going to be reading from a little section in Matthew's Gospel called the Apostolic Discourse, where Jesus sends out the 12 ahead of him to do a missionary journey even before the death and resurrection of Christ. So in other words, a kind of a practice session. Let's see how this goes. And so the 12 are that inner circle that in kind of secret, in darkness, in intimacy, Christ reveals all kinds of things. And now he's saying, now I want you to take what I've told you here privately and proclaim it to the rooftops. Go out and proclaim this message. I had to teach you very concretely and privately first, but now I want you to go out and proclaim that message. But he says, I want to warn you, you're going to be persecuted. It's not going to always be a positive message, and you're not going to be well received in many cases. And that's how the prophetic apostolic word works, unfortunately. So Jeremiah is one of those prophets for whom the kickback was severe. And we hear a passage from him this morning, and it's interesting that the church couples that with this gospel reading about another prophetic word, Jeremiah, who met such resistance that he complained to God, you duped me. You made me in private, in darkness, fall in love with you. And then you sent me out to preach this unpopular word, and I just want to be, I want it to be over. I want to end it. But he realizes after some prayer and discernment, he can't hold it in. He cannot not preach the message. So he realizes that people are talking about him, that they're plotting his murder, and he's afraid. But in the end, he says, but I know, Lord, that you are on my side, and I know that you are my Redeemer, and so I trust in you. Well, this is the way with Isaiah and Ezekiel. This is the way with Elijah. This is the way with Moses. All of the prophets of the Lord, all the emissaries of the Lord, who are all kind of types for Christ, they've shown in a precursory sort of way what Christ is going to live out fully in his life, in his teaching, in his miracles, in his message, and finally, and most profoundly, in his death and resurrection. And that is that just as it always says in the Old Testament, God is on the side of the poor. And if you're going to be a messenger of God, you're going to have to be on the side of the poor. You're going to have to side with them. You're going to have to live with them. You're going to have to smell like the sheep, as Pope Francis says. You don't side with power, earthly power, because that's not where God is. All the prophets challenged the kings. And Elijah, Ahab and his wife Jezebel, they were enemies of Elijah. They were constantly plotting to kill him. And at one point, he has to go into exile. He has to escape the country because they're after him. Same with Jeremiah. Same with Ezekiel. Same with Isaiah. Moses speaks to the power of Pharaoh. This speaking the authority of God to a corrupt government. And every government is corrupt in some way. And even the best governments need to be challenged from time to time. And sometimes the church has to take a prophetic stance, and it's unpopular, and we're going to be persecuted for it. But we trust in God's mercy and love. So in a way, Jesus is setting up a dichotomy here, a comparison between two different kinds of fear. There's bad fear and there's good fear. And bad fear, Jesus says, don't be afraid of human beings. Don't be afraid of those who have power to kill your body. Fear rather the one who has power to throw you into Gehenna. Fear God. So the fear of humans, Jesus sets up as a kind of a false or bad fear. And bad fear is, you know, the fear of inadequacy, that we're not up to the task. And all the prophets said that in some way or another in their private discernment. They wondered if they were up to the task, if they were worthy of being God's messenger. Bad fear is the fear that other people will dislike us, and that that'll make us unpopular. It's the fear of insecurity, the fear of all the things that the fear mongers of the world, who are always busy, are trying to pump us up, set up that fearful situation. Good fear of God, is fear nonetheless, but it's fear of the one who is almighty, who has all the power, from whom everything comes and to whom everything is going. He is the beginning and the end, the source and the goal of everything, and I am powerless before that. But that's okay, because the one who has the power to cast me into hell forever doesn't want to do that. In fact, he sent his son to tell me that God is on my side, that God is my advocate, the one arguing for me, not against me. And so I can trust and I can live my life in hope, because despite my inadequacy and my unworthiness and despite my sin, love, which is God, is more powerful than sin and more powerful than death, and that's how I know with full hope that I'm going to live forever. It's interesting that the word intimacy, which we are invited to experience in God, the same intimacy, the union that was there with God and everything in the beginning, and the same return to God, the intimacy that will be at the end, I'm invited into now. And the word intimacy comes from two Latin words, in timere, in or through fear. So in other words, Jesus is inviting his disciples to enter into the fear. Don't do what the world says. Don't look for a pill to avoid the fear. Don't run around the fear or try to avoid it or deny it. Face into it. Immerse yourself in the fear. Love the God who loves you, despite the fact that there's something kind of fearful about that. The unknown, the infinite, over which we have no control, and that causes a deep kind of fear in us. But Jesus is saying, enter into that fear. Go through it. Don't go around it. Go through it. And he gives the example in his own life. People warn him, don't go up to Jerusalem. They're plotting to kill you there. And he goes there anyway. And people say to us, don't speak the truth to power. They'll persecute you for it. And we do it anyway. We face into the fear. We go through it. And that's how we experience intimacy with God. And that is exactly what Jeremiah is saying in that first reading. I'm scared half to death, and I feel like a failure, and I know I'm inadequate, but somehow or other, I just can't stop myself from entering into it. I can't look the other way. I can't run around it or run away. Somehow or other, the Lord is leading me into it, and I have learned how to trust that in there, inside that fear, in that intimacy with God, I am completely saved.